Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 96, recorded March 26, 2026.
96, woohoo! Ninety-six is like for people who don't like each other.
Yeah.
Oh,
so cool. Like, fuck it.
Or is that like back to back?
Yeah.
Ass to mouth.
Yeah.
Like human centipede.
Listen, I admitted that. Well, we'll skip that too.
Hey now.
Whoa-wee. All right. Man, I can't believe that. Here in Southern California, it's been so fucking hot. I feel like spring is gone. It's already fucking summer, and I hate it.
It's not going away, huh? Just sticking around.
Yeah, 80 today, 80 tomorrow, up in
That's
the 80s.
Nice. That's not hot.
It's hot for this time of year, bro. It's 25 to 30 degrees above normal. The other day, it was 60 degrees above normal.
Wow. Yeah, when we were in Vegas, I think the day we were leaving, it was supposed to hit like 98.
Do you have good hot weather when you went?
It was warm. It wasn't like hot. Well, again, it's a dry heat there too, so it's not quite as unbearable as being in the heat here when it gets hot. But I think
it's a dry heat.
Yeah, I think the last day we were there, I think it hit like 85, which was, you know, it was nice. It was really nice at night when you're walking around.
Nice. All right, let's get started with some horror news. Okay, there's a new trailer for a film called Touch Me. And boy, does that look like it's going to be a great freaking comedy horror. I also noticed that the lead female in there is Olivia Taylor Dudley. She is the girl that was in Onyx. She's the one that was Gadget, the chipmunk in his fantasy. She was the girl with the green hair, the demon girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that. Nice. Yeah, that movie looks insane. Like, it's... Like the trailer for it, like it looks, you know, like a comedy at first, but then as you get further along, it turns into like pretty much like
pretty
a horror.
Much horror.
Yeah. And it was pretty funny, the comedy part of it.
Yeah. Let's see, where am I?
Actually, I think that starts streaming next week, from what I read. It had like limited release in the theater like a couple weeks ago, and I think it releases to streaming on April like 4th or something.
Go ahead.
Here's the synopsis of the film. After a series of unfortunate events leaves their house uninhabitable and reeking of poo, two codependent friends, Joey and Craig, find themselves homeless and out of options. That's when Joey's mysterious ex resurfaces. He wants her back, along with being hot. Brian also happens to be an alien whose touch makes anxiety and depression disappear. The two venture to his compound for the weekend with the hope that being healed from past traumas, but underneath Brian's veneer of healing is a sinister plot filled with murder, mayhem, and blood. Touch Me is a psychosexual horror comedy about the nature of codependent friendships and how far we are willing to go for a slice of happiness.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Might be my movie in two cycles when it's my turn.
There's another trailer out for, it's a teaser trailer, but it's pretty long. In a Violent Nature Part 2.
Yeah.
looks
classic
pretty
slasher,
right?
Classic slasher.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be pretty good too. It looks like they're taking it to the next level.
Yeah, it definitely looks like there's a little bit more well, I think they even said it. It says they'll run this time in the And I was like, yeah, there's actually some running going on. Not the killer, but everybody else seems to be running this time.
Yeah, there's another trailer out that I've forwarded to you guys. We'll post all this stuff up on Facebook so everyone gets a chance to take a look at it. But The Faces of Death finally has a full trailer out.
It looks like they did a twist on the original. It looks like what I'm seeing, like an homage.
Well, let me read to you the synopsis.
Okay, all right,
might explain it. In Faces of Death, The exploration of the original film's infamous "Is it real or is it not?" conceit continues as a woman, Ferrari, working as a content moderator for a major video platform, discovers what appears to be reenactments of the murders from the original film. In an online world where nothing can be trusted, she must determine whether the violence is fiction or unfolding in real time. So it's basically a murderer who is repeating the murders in the movie in real life.
Like a copycat killer, but doing the... I think it's a good idea. Yeah. It's a, I think it's a fresh take on the original, you know? Because just to try to do the original again, like, it's kind of tough.
It wouldn't even be possible. It's really hard to kind of make it look like it did back then. You got to think about it. Technology back then was nothing. A VHS tape, you're like, where did this come from? And the video looked shitty, which was okay because it was a VHS tape.
Yeah.
Nowadays, everything's 1080p, 4K. How are you gonna do all that?
Yeah.
Right? And how are you going to convince people that it's real? Because they would Google it right away.
Yeah.
Back then, we couldn't, like, grab our phone or look on the internet and see if that really happened.
And you can't convince people that real shit's real these days, you know? So
exactly. And all the AI out there is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no social media saying this isn't real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a great idea, I think. And there's a couple scenes to it, too, that I thought looked like the guy who was, I think, the murderer looked pretty creepy.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
Like I said, I watched it. I was like, yeah.
I'm a little bit more excited now than I was.
I do have a ticket to the LA premiere.
When's that?
April 7th. Tuesday, nice. April 7th.
Nice. Yeah. So you'll get to let us know what it's like.
Yeah.
Do they still do that, The Man, or no? A lot of those.
This is American Cinematheque. It's at the Aero Theater up in Santa Monica.
Okay. That's where you go for most of that stuff, right?
For most of the screenings, early screenings and stuff. It's fun being a member of that stuff because I really enjoy film. So they'll have
like the red carpet out and the cast.
They often have press there and they have a backdrop that all the actors and directors and stuff stand in front of for photography. Yeah, they have a mini red carpet section. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. And now that it's warmer out, they'll probably do it outside. That's what they did for that film. What was that film I just watched the other couple weeks ago? It was called
The Whistle?
Psycho Killer.
Okay.
So for Psycho Killer, they had a whole press box set up outside with all kinds of press people interviewing the cast and the director and the writer.
Sweet.
Okay, our next story. Another trailer for a movie called Obsession. We talked about this last month. There was a little sneak peek teaser.
Yeah.
But now they got a full-blown trailer, and man, does it look fucking wild.
Yeah, it does.
It looks even better.
And that chick plays a pretty good crazy chick. Just from the trailer, I'm like, man, she's doing a good job with that. So I didn't recognize her, but she looked crazy.
The thing that makes it even better is in that little teaser last month, they were like, he was calling the number on the box saying, hey, can I make her like less into me? But now they show him saying, how do I get it to stop? And he's like, well, you don't. He goes, it just goes on forever. And then they say, well, as long as you live.
Yeah.
as long as I live.
Well, that was your wish, man.
Yeah, so that's it looks freaking wild.
It does.
Yeah.
Is that this month too?
I don't have the date written down for that one. That's a good question.
We're starting to roll out some good ones now. The years always start out kind of slow, but once like April hits, then they start getting some good ones.
Yeah, it's
May 15th that comes out. May 15th that comes out.
Yep, May 15th. An hour and 48 minutes, rated R. All right. The next trailer, The End of Oak Street. After a mysterious cosmic event rips Oak Street from suburbia and transports their neighborhood somewhere unknown, the Platt family soon discovers that their very survival depends on sticking together as they navigate the now unrecognizable surroundings.
Is this related to Cloverfield or no? Because it sort of reminded me of it.
I don't think so.
I must have missed that one.
And you know, it's kind of funny. It was Cloverfield Drive or something like that?
Yeah.
Or,
the one with John Goodman in it. Where then the bunker.
And this one has, what is this, Oak Street or something? So yeah, I was like, I wonder if it's sort of tied or connected at all. But
yeah, it says Anne Hathaway, Ewan McGregor.
It's a good cast. Maisie
Stella. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't look. I didn't see that one. I must have missed that when I was looking over the ones you sent. So I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it looks God. It looks interesting. It looks like more of a sci-fi horror than anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
But it's produced and written by J.J. Abrams. So, hey, maybe it is part of Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah, because he did those, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be right, Craig.
Although it didn't say Cloverfield Universe, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Right. Our next trailer is Something Very Bad is Going to Happen. This is going to be streaming on Netflix very soon. What makes two people soulmates? From the exclusive producer of Stranger Things and the director of Baby Reindeer, Camilla Monroe and David DeMarco star in Something Very Bad is Going to Happen.
It's a British film. Coming to Netflix
March 26th. Oh, it comes out today.
I think it's British. I think I have it on my watch list. I'm going to give it a shot.
I don't have Netflix anymore. I gave it up.
I'd like to, but my daughter's watching something on it. So otherwise, I'd get rid of it because they're jacking the price up again. It'll be second time in 1 year.
That's why I said, fuck this shit, I'm done.
And there's not that much good shit on it.
Yeah, no commercials, though. That's the nice thing.
Yeah.
They're one of the rare few ones anymore.
Hulu has no commercials if you buy it. Every single service now makes you pay for no commercials. Even fucking Amazon Prime. And that pisses me off.
Yeah, right? You fucking jerks.
Because I already pay, what, $180 a year for Amazon Prime?
Yeah. Fuck you, Jeff Bullshit. Bezos.
Greedy mother freaking. All right. Yeah, this one seems like it's another two people falling in love situation.
Yeah. Got a lot of those lately.
Yeah. Something going on with that.
Yeah, together.
All right.
Remember, together.
Yeah, yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
That's on Hulu.
Is it? I still haven't watched that.
Launched on Hulu.
Yep,
I saw it a long time ago, but. But I got Hulu and Disney now.
Yay!
I got it all for free. I watched the Marvel Zombies. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying Marvel to find Zombies. Some series to watch, you know? So give me any suggestions if you have them.
On Hulu?
Yeah.
Fucking Daredevil.
Is that good?
Hell yeah, it is. You got to start with the Netflix ones,
though. This is the second season? Or?
Yeah. Did you watch the Netflix ones?
No.
You got to watch those first.
Okay,
it's better if you watch those first, but there's a lot of seasons there.
Yeah,
but I would definitely watch at least all of the what is it three? Is there three seasons of Netflix?
Yeah,
it bleeds into the Hulu series.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's weird.
It's all Disney television, or Marvel television.
Okay,
it wasn't originally, but then when Disney bought it, they decided to bring back that universe and tweak it just a hair, but all the stories kind of.
Okay.
Pick up from where it left off. So it's a really good series. And The Punisher is a good spinoff of that, too. But you could just start with Daredevil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good violence.
Okay.
All right. Hokum official trailer.
That looks fucking bad shit crazy, too.
Yeah. That one was a
little looking forward to this one. Yeah, I know.
It definitely looks like that guy's movies. Like his movies all kind of got the same kind of, you know, thing going on. Like Caveat and then Oddity in this one.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm assuming he's Irish because they all seem to have like Irish folklore involved in them.
Yeah, Irish. Mm-hmm.
When novelist Ohm Brahm retreats to a remote inn in Scatler, his parents' ashes. Oh, to scatter his parents' ashes, he is consumed by tales of witch hunting and honeymoon suites, disturbing visions. And a shocking disappearance forces him to confront dark corners of his past. Trailer looked pretty good. It looks really freaky. I'm very interested to see that one. A lot of great horror films coming out in 2026.
Indeed, indeed.
Our next news story, Godzilla Minus Zero is going to release in IMAX worldwide, according to a post in X from Discussing Film. Godzilla Minus Zero will have a worldwide IMAX release. I don't know. What do you call if you post on Twitter? It's not Twitter anymore. Now it's X. So when it was on Twitter, you would say I tweeted. now that it's on X, what do you call it?
You like, shit I it.
Vomited.
You shit it.
I
yeah.
shitted.
Yeah.
I regurgitated.
Yeah. Sharded.
Yeah. I sharded.
Yeah.
People still say someone tweeted this. Yeah. It's not Twitter anymore. It's X. So I X'd this. I shat this. I shat this afternoon.
Yeah.
Great article in Forbes.com. Bruce Campbell explains why he has less involvement with Evil Dead moving forward.
Poor Bruce.
Now, this decision came well before Campbell received his cancer diagnosis. So, which, by the way, he says he's in treatment for, although my understanding is it's not curable.
Yeah.
Or is less likely to be curable. But we'll see. In the article, he kind of explains he goes to all the meetings for all the new movies and stuff and doesn't have anything really to say or any input to give. So he feels like he's not really participating enough to have it take up his time. He said he feels very detached from it. And a lot of the process as a filmmaker, he just doesn't care about. It's a lot of negotiation and meeting studio heads and trying to get release dates and, you know, studios to pick something up or whatever. And he's like, I don't really care for it.
That's fair.
Our next news story here. Sony is going to be remaking Single White Female as a new film called Single Female, according to The Hollywood Reporter.
I enjoyed that.
Single Female is going to star Jenna Ortega and Taylor Russell.
Hmm.
Okay.
Jenna Ortega, modern day scream queen.
It's going to be a new take on the 1992 thriller that starred Bridget Fonda and Jennifer Jason Leigh. What a film it was.
It was, dude. Man. Jennifer Jason Leigh played a good freak.
Yep. Yeah. According to 3000 Pictures, a subsidiary of Sony Pictures, a division of Sony, has hired Bodies screenwriter Sarah DeLapp to pen the script. The project is, like I said, a remake from 1992 feature Single White Female that adapted by author John Lutz's novel SFW Seeks Sane and starred Bridget Fonda and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Ortega and Russell serve as the producers alongside Stacey Scheer and Marissa Pava. The news of Ortega and Russell leading the movie was announced last year. Yeah, I mean, it could be good. It could be good.
Yeah.
Right now, I think Jenna Ortega is in the middle of filming Wednesday season 3.
Oh, nice. I like season 2.
Yeah. John Carpenter is going to be releasing his first original graphic novel called Cathedral this August.
Hmm.
According to Comics Beat, this is going to be his very first. He had a dream that made him think about this, and he decided to write something. So here's a little synopsis of it. The middle downtown Los Angeles sets the scene for John Carpenter's Cathedral, where an abandoned cathedral stands, fenced in and ignored by the world around it. The preoccupied passersby have long since ceased to notice the dilapidated church in their midst, never mind sensing the danger of centuries-old evil trapped inside its walls. A gruesome murder, one late night, pulls the structure into the spotlight, triggering a police investigation into the loss of one of their own, Lieutenant Christine Marks. Along with detectives Paul Hernandez and Steve Mayfield, must enter the church in search of the monster that murdered her father. Every step takes them deeper into the belly of a church, revealing the mystery of an ancient evil imprisoned within. You know, it kind of reminds me of Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
Wasn't that in an old church?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the basement was the monster, the devil trapped inside of a container?
Yeah. Yeah, and Alice Cooper was like the homeless dude, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
I got that on 4K a couple of years
ago. Maybe it'll be a different spin to it.
Yeah, the cover looks pretty unique, so I'm interested in it. I'm going to add it to my pull list. Mike Flanagan has added a whole bunch of frequent collaborators to his to his Exorcist movie. According to Deadline, Mike Flanagan has added 11 longtime collaborators to the cast of his untitled new Exorcist movie. Raoul Cole, Hamish Linklater, Gil Bellows, Carl Lumbee, Robert Longstreet, Matt Beadle, Samantha Stoyle, Kate Siegel.
Of course she's in it. That's his wife.
John Gallagher Jr., of course. Benjamin Pajek and Carla Gugino.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah, yeah, she's hot.
Gerald's Game.
What's known about the film is shooting in New York City, and it will tell an all-new story in the Exorcist universe that is not a prequel. We repeat this in every freaking article. This is not a sequel to the shitty 2023 Exorcist Believer film.
Haven't seen it.
No. Yeah, I haven't either.
The cast also includes Scarlett Johansson, Jacoby Joop,
Jickory Joop?
Oh, man, I... Jacoby Joop.
Oh, okay.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, you know, the guy in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, nice.
John Leguizamo.
Oh, wow.
Sasha Calle and Diane Lane.
Wow.
It's a fucking crazy huge cast.
Hell yeah, it is. Jesus.
Rumors are saying that John Leguizamo is going to be like
the demon,
the main antagonist in the film.
He plays a good demon.
He was in Spawn. He played the demon in Spawn.
Yeah. The clown.
What the hell was his name? I forget his name.
It has like a weird, like, not Beelzebub, but it's something similar.
Violator. He's the Violator.
But it, like, he had like an actual, like.
Oh, the clown name?
Like, yeah. I don't remember what it was, but.
I can't remember. Yeah. It's been a long time since I read any Spawn. According to Deadline, this came out a couple days ago. Andy Muschietti still has plans to make a 6-hour supercut of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's working right now with Warner Brothers to sketch out what is going to happen. He says basically the two movies are going to be edited together with all new material that has never been released in any of the versions that have been released.
Nice.
And there will be a couple scenes that he wants to shoot in addition to that to add more clarity to some scenes.
Tie it together. Yeah.
It's going to be tough to do.
Yeah. According to the interview, he was a little cryptic about his answers, but he is working on it and he's going to re-edit it in a way that wasn't even seen in some of the other films. So
interesting.
I'm excited for it. There were two great films. The first film was way better than the second, but all in all, it was a fucking great film. And the new TV series, Welcome to Derry, holy shit, it's amazing.
Was excellent. Yeah. And I think they greenlit the second season, I think I saw.
Yeah, but it's...
Yes, they did. Yeah.
What's that? Correct?
It was delayed.
Well, yeah, but at least they greenlit it.
Yeah, the thing is, Andy Muschietti says he's far too busy. He's got a lot of projects on his plate. So it's going to take him some time to make all this stuff happen.
I'm just interested to see, like, because at the end of Welcome to Derry, it seemed like the it was like a time traveler or something like that, or all of realities existed at once around him.
Right. So and he could so like go. He sees.
Yeah.
He sees time as a fourth dimension in a way that we don't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was real. Like I'm sitting there like trying to wrap my head around it. And I'm like, wait, so he existed all the times simultaneously.
If you, there's some back lore on who he is, the creature that he is in the novel. Also about the turtle with the three elephants on its back that hold the earth. There's a whole mythology that Stephen King created to create this creature from it.
And that explains it a little bit better.
And I think they're going to touch on that in this TV series, Welcome to Derry. So
cool.
All right, that is all I got for news. You guys got anything?
Just a couple things. First off, I just wanted to say how upset I am that they've Hulu's decided to squash the Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I know.
I was really looking forward to that. Kind of bummed. Thanks a lot, Hulu. Also, I told you guys, but I just let everyone know I went to that Universal Horror Unleashed in Vegas.
Yeah,
it was a really good time. I like the fact that because it's year round that you don't get the same crowd size that you get like when you like have it just at Halloween.
Yeah.
The haunts that they had, four of them there, they had Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was amazing. They let you go through, they space it out. So Kim and I went like 2 minutes after the people in front of us, and then they sent the people after us 2 minutes in after we were. So it was basically, yeah, we were going through that house by ourselves. Kim was scared shitless. It was really good. Then they also did the Reaping, which I think was like a kind of like a scarecrow thing that they've done at, I think, Universal Hollywood.
Okay.
And they also did Universal Classic Monsters, which was like done really well. And
nice.
They also did Exorcist Believer, which was kind of, it was probably my least favorite of the.
They rotate them, I guess.
According to the bartender, because they've only been open, I think, like 5 or 6 months. They've been told that they're going to rotate them. They just haven't been told like what the schedule's like as far as the rotation is going to be. But they are going to rotate them. And the midway kind of area was really cool too, because there's a whole lot of other stuff going on besides like just the four attractions. Like they have like live performers and stuff. And I think I sent you guys that picture of Kim getting harassed by the grabber. It was really good. So if anyone's in Vegas and you like horror and you're looking for something fun to do, go check out the Universal Horror Unleashed.
Was it busy enough though, where you feel they can get away with doing it all year round?
Because we got there, it opens at 4 and we got there for 4 o'clock because we had dinner plans for 7. And when we first got there, it was fairly empty, but when we were leaving, it was full.
Okay.
I could see that. Plus it's not just that, it's in an area called Area 15 there, which they have all kinds of other shit going on, like laser tag kind of shit, and they got like a John.
I've been to Area 15.
Yeah, something called a Mega Mart, which is like a weird ass
The Mega Mart is weird. Yeah.
It's so cool, it's in there. So there's all kinds of other shit going on. So even if like you're not there just for that, like it's part of that whole scene. So I would definitely recommend going to check it out. It was a good time. That's all.
Next time you're in Vegas, you should go to the Punk Rock Hall of Fame. It's pretty awesome.
I'll check it out. Kim's not really a fan of punk rock, but I would check it out. That's all I got.
Awesome.
I got nothing.
All right. Let's move on to the next step here. It's 5 great horror flicks to watch on a streaming service. It's my turn this month, and I'm picking Hulu.
Not
so
Netflix.
Nope. My 5 picks with no particular order. Barbarian.
Ah, great movie.
It's funny. So many people haven't seen that movie yet, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, and you can't really tell them a lot about it because it's one of those, why would you want to go in blind? Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
What?
Yeah. and it's finally coming out on Blu-ray and 4K. It's coming out via Criterion Collection. So
nice.
My second pick is Cuckoo. That movie is fucking weird.
I haven't seen it yet.
Weird. Super weird.
Yeah.
It looked weird.
But it is a horror film, that's for sure. And it's fucking weird.
All right, I'll have to add that to my list.
Color Out of Space. Again, we talk about this one all the time.
Man.
When the mother and a child merge together, it's like fucking wild.
So like grossed me out. Like if I like was repulsed, but I couldn't look away. Like it was
It was a good film.
That was one of the really most grotesque film. Creations. In horror period, I think.
I would say
Another pick of mine is Hell of a Summer. That came out last year, and it was a pretty decent fun film.
Is that original? I haven't seen
it's actually produced and I believe
is that
directed
Finn Wolfhard?
By Finn Wolfhard, yeah.
I wanted to watch that. I haven't watched it, though. It's kind of like a summer camp kind of movie, right?
It's a fun summer horror flick. I thought it was pretty decent.
I wanted to watch that. I have to check that back out because I wanted to watch it, and then I just forgot about it.
And then this other film is I've seen the premiere, and I've had my sister and stuff watch it. It's more for women, but it's still very good. Night Bitch.
Cool. I've heard of that one. Haven't seen it.
Okay.
That's got what, Amy Adams in it, right?
That's correct.
All right. I remember that, and I was like, that sounds like a weird-ass movie, especially like for her.
It is a fucking weird movie, but I thought it was really good.
Okay.
It's an allegory for being a stay-at-home mom.
All right.
But it's really
good movie.
It's really good. Yeah.
She's a good actress. Actor.
Oh, amazing actress. Amazing actress. Yeah, so that is five flicks to watch.
All right.
Next, let's do our top five. This month, the top five is top five erotic horror films.
Or sexual, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you know, I realized when I was trying to do this that I haven't seen a whole lot of, like... I would have thought... Yeah, it was kind of hard for me to determine like what separated something with just some titties in it or it
on the point of it has to like drive the movie, like sex is the driver.
Okay.
Of the movie. You know I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So some of mine may not. They're plot points in the movie, but I don't know if they're the entire movie. Because, like I said, after I started looking at it, I was like, man, I don't know if I've seen that.
You
could have
used your Piranha movie if you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is. I mean, isn't it about like going out in the water and filming? And
yeah.
That's sort of whatever. But yeah. So throw that in there if you want.
Okay. No, I have enough. It's just that I wasn't sure exactly like erotic, like. You know, if I was supposed to like get chubbed up while I was watching it, or like
no. Yeah, I know. Like I said,
No, it's a good category. We haven't done something like that. Just like I was like trying to think. I'm like, would this be considered erotic? I don't know, because especially since we're tying it into the movie that we watched.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. But I was like, oh man, that okay. Anyway, let's go ahead.
who's on?
It is Craig Salchris.
Okay. So number five, I went with It Follows. Because.
Nice.
Yeah. It's what the plot starts with.
Transmitted. It's
sexually. Yeah.
Sexually transmitted.
Faux show.
Number four, I have Under the Skin.
You and Sal, like, I haven't seen that one.
He is not home right now.
Yeah, you and Sal like hyped that one up, and I still haven't seen it.
I don't know what it's on, but you have to check it out.
You guys have hyped it up a lot, like it's, but I just haven't. That's Scarlett Johansson, right?
Yep. And basically, she's like a hooker in a movie, but that's all I'll tell you.
It's a great movie. Guess,
without spoiling it. Yep. Number three, one with X.
Nice. Yeah. It's a great movie.
Shooting a little pornography.
It's about porno. So, I mean, you can't get much more erotic than that.
I was going to say, is there anything more erotic?
Lot lizards.
Maybe. Sewing people together.
Ah, Jesus. No, it's not.
No, it's not. I omitted that.
Good, because if you had that listed as an erotic horror, I may have to like just check out of this show now.
Number two, I went with a Serbian film. Any of you guys familiar with that?
I've heard of it, and I think you've used it. You've talked about that one once before, but I've never seen it.
It's pretty disturbing.
I heard it's pretty fucked up.
Again, it's like a porn star. Put it on your list to watch.
Is it Serbian though? Is it subtitled?
No, it's English, but it's Serbian. You know, okay. I mean, it's yeah.
All right.
I don't remember. Was it subtitled? I don't remember. It's been a while.
Okay.
Maybe it was. It's Russian anyway, right? Serb.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
I think Serbs speak Russian. Anyway, so that's my number two. And number one, I went with Hellraiser.
Yeah, nice. A little S&M.
Yeah, if you're into it. But again, that movie revolves around, what is your pleasure?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you got any
Yeah, mentions? I do. Glory.
Ah, yeah, that's a good one.
I forgot about that one. That's Glory Hole.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. And Human Centipede.
What? Come on. on. Just because there was ass to mouth in it doesn't mean it was. I mean, was it a sexual movie?
No.
Other than the fact that they were like so ass to mouth,
creating this weird creature. Yeah, it's not really. No, I was just joking about that. No, Glory was my
honorable. That was a great film.
Glorious, right?
Yeah.
The restroom.
Glorious, yeah. Yes.
With Jason Quanten.
Yeah, I said Glory.
In it.
Glory
and, was the Civil War or Justin movie. Quanten.
Glory was a Civil War movie. Right. Glorious.
Could you imagine the two mashed together?
Oh, that's... Somehow there's a bathroom stall on the battlefield.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Let me get my top five in here. Okay. My number five. Orgy of the Dead.
Okay. I mean, it sounds good. I've never seen it.
That's Ed Wood. No?
No, this was one Ed was Wood. In the no. 80s, right?
I thought that was Ed Wood. No.
I'm going to look when it came out. This is something I watched a long time ago, dude.
I mean, it's got a great name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Orgy of the Dead. Like yeah.
The writer, the director.
Oh, it's like these go-go dancers,
zombies.
Yeah,
go-go dancing yeah. in the cemetery. Oh yeah, no, it's
yeah, and there's a lot fucking... of tits in it. I just remember as a kid being like, "Ooh, titties."
Yeah, and like the tombstones are like doing this because they're made out of yeah. paper. They're like yeah. dancing with tassels on their.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest. Yeah, but it's a good, it's definitely nice. Yeah, no, definitely a good.
Listen, movie. I was like 9 years old, and I was like, "What? Look at all the tits in this movie. What the hell?"
It was black and white too, I think, wasn't it?
That's what I'd be like at that age.
Yeah, it was yeah. black and white too. Yep.
Yeah.
My number four is Under the Skin. I can't say enough great things about that film because, you know,
I have to watch it.
She's in it and she's nude.
So. Yep.
It was really creepy though. The black, the room oh, yeah. that she oh, took yeah, everyone yeah, to, yeah. that was fucking yeah. creepy as hell.
I know. Right.
My number three, again, this is one I watched when I was a kid. And again, it made a major impression on me. The Hunger, 1983.
I remember you guys talking about that. And I think it was in that Into the Darkness or In Search of Darkness
yeah.
documentary is one of the 80s movies that was, you know, out there.
Yep.
It had Catherine Deneuve and David Bowie, Susan Sarandon. It was really fucking... something else, man. Again, I was young and impressionable. my number two, Bone Lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one. That. It's a newer one. But
yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah. It is.
So you've seen that, Chris? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, Chris saw it before me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. Was that
after Chris said it was good is when I watched it.
Was that end of 2025 or beginning of 2026? I'm trying to think. I think
it was end of 2025. Yeah. Yeah. And my number one is X.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's a porno movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My two, I have two honorable mentions. The Love Witch.
Nice.
Yeah. See, you could use that one. Yeah.
And
Glorious. I may have. And what
was that, Sal?
Glorious.
Glorious.
Okay, so you did have that.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. That was a good list. I think the way I was thinking about this is I was trying to think of like more like
gave you a boner.
Well, no, but like movies that had like sexuality in them, not just like boning or just titties.
Movie. You know what I mean?
That's it was. I know it was tough. So I got some that.
Okay.
My list is out there. I mean, I got some ones, but I don't know if all of them, the sex drove the movie per se.
I'm surprised you didn't put any of those Danzig movies on there. So
they were not really that erotic.
Well, yeah, they weren't that good either. I
mean, there was tits in them. Yeah. There was tits in them, but it wasn't based around.
Like, they weren't really that good either. So, you know, it had to be good to make a top five list, right? Like,
yeah, it had to be something I want to watch multiple times, you know?
Or suggest to other people watch.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, this is a little bit all over there. So, my number five is Interview with a Vampire. There was that scene in that movie where like they were like on stage, like simulating the sex, but the vampires were actually eating that woman.
Yeah.
It was an erotic scene for me. I was thinking more erotica than, you know.
Sure.
My number four was The Love Witch.
Okay.
Because that was, it was a good film, sexy movie. Number three, and this was from like maybe 2019 or 2020. It was called Girl House. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's it's a girl who it's like a X-rated chat room, and like you can go in and like almost like OnlyFans, but they're all in the same house together. They all live together, and this girl, it's her first day there, and she starts getting stalked, and then like this guy is like starts killing all the other chicks that are on cam. It was a pretty good movie.
Yeah,
nice.
My number two, Infinity Pool. That was there was a pretty like crazy like sex scene in that where like the bodies were like melting together and shit, and you know, like I think the sexuality of Mia Goth in that movie is what kept Alexander Skarsgård's character like, you know, continually seeing how far his limits could be pushed.
My
number one is X, again, because it's it's a movie about a porn movie. Yeah. And then I have
Maxine. Yeah, I guess you could have used Maxine.
Yeah, you could, but of the trilogy, Maxine was probably my least favorite. And she was a porn star.
If you were scraping, you could.
Yeah. And I have two honorable mentions. I have Bone Lake, which Sal just said, and Deliverance.
Okay.
Because that had a pretty hot sex.
What about teeth?
I just put that in as a joke.
Vagina dentata.
Yes. But that wasn't sexy. Like I said, I was thinking like sexy.
But
like,
it's about know. The.
Oh, it I is. Should have added this.
Oh, Frankenhooker.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
This is my special 4K Frankenhooker.
Yeah.
I just remember like walking through the video store as a kid, like every time I would walk by that, I would like look at it and look at it and look at it. But it was with my mom picking up movies, so I couldn't like get Frankenhooker.
Yeah.
Want a date? Got some money?
You got the drugs?
Want a good time? And then when a guy would go, I don't got any money, she'd fucking knock him out.
Yeah. That was a fun list, though. That was fun. Like I said, I was kind of in my mind. I wasn't sure exactly what I.
No, it's not. It wasn't the easiest, but like I said, we're scraping, man.
We are.
It's getting tough.
We're starting to hit the bottom of the barrel.
Like I said, I'm going to start doing movies with like different letters. Top five slasher flicks that start with the letter C.
Yeah.
I got this yesterday.
That was a great movie.
It was a good movie, yeah. 4K Outbreak. Dustin Hoffman.
I'm not a Dustin Hoffman fan.
Morgan Freeman.
Nowadays, though, that movie wouldn't work because all those people wouldn't give a shit. They'd say it was a fake and they just like...
They should do the movie over again and just have people go, whatever, wearing a mask.
Yeah, fuck that. Some monkey virus. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Movie be over quick. Everyone's dead.
I'm not getting a
half
shot.
Half hour, everyone's dead.
I'm not getting a shot.
Vaccine? What are you, crazy? I'm not getting letting them put 5G in me. Look, a magnet sticks to me now that I got that shot.
I'm just going to chug this bottle of Lysol.
Yeah.
Isn't there some way we can use light to kill the germs inside people? All right. Let's move on to our movie review. The movie review this month is... Candyland. Speaking of erotic horror. Synopsis. Candyland follows Remy, played by Olivia Lucardi from It Follows, and seemingly naive and devout young woman, and finds herself cast out from her religious cult. With no place to turn, she immerses herself into an underground world of truck stop sex workers, a.k.a. lot lizards.
Yeah.
Courtesy of her host, Sadie, played by Sam Quartin, he was in Body Brokers. Riley, Eden Brolini from Yellowstone. Liv, Virginia Rand. And Levi, Owen Campbell. He was in X.
Liv gave it a nice little shot, didn't she?
Under the watchful eye of their matriarch, Nora, played by Guinevere Turner, American Psycho. And the enigmatic local law lawman, Sheriff Rex, played by William Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin.
Yeah. Remy navigates between her strained belief system and the Lot Lizard Code to find her true calling in life. Directed by John Swab, producer Jeremy M. Rosen and John Swab, screenwriter John Swab, distributor Quiver Distribution, production company is Roxwell Films. The genre is horror. Original language is English. It was released in theaters January 6, 2023 in a very limited run and then released to streaming January 6, 2023. It is an hour and 33 minutes long. Interestingly enough, one of the Rotten Tomato reviews from an official reviewer said, "This film is garbage and it has no redeeming qualities whatsoever." Just for the record, the tomato meter is 74%. That's official critics. And the popcorn meter, which is normal theater-going viewers, gave it a 61%. Not bad.
I had a hard time with this one.
It had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
It did. There was a lot of boobies in it.
Yeah, I started to look at this after a while, not like a new movie, but like an homage to 70s B movie slashers. And then it worked better for me. Because I mean, if you look at this movie, like it definitely seemed like it didn't take place in modern day, right? Like it.
Right. It seemed very much like a sexploitation film of the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely got like, you know, like that kind of like grindhouse kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But without the graininess of it was, I think it was going for grindhouse, but didn't quite get there kind of thing.
Yeah. I thought the setting was good. They did a nice job with the
setting. Yeah. I thought the setting was good. And I thought it was weird. The songs they had in there. I was like, holy shit, this movie's got some actual, like commercial.
They
like,
must have had some budget for that shit.
Yeah. I was like, what kind of, how are they playing this music in this movie? I like,
especially the final song of the film. I'm like, how did they pay for that one?
Yeah, right.
Like, seriously.
I was thinking the same thing at the end of the movie. I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is actually a pretty good song to end this movie, but how the hell they get it?
Yeah. Like, that must have been their entire budget.
yeah.
So the acting I thought was good, except for the guy that's been acting for 45 years.
Yeah, he phoned it in, didn't he?
Listen, Billy Baldwin always phones it in.
I know, but like I said, you think it would get better, you know, all these years. But the kids, I thought the kids,
I was,
did a hell of a job. I was impressed with their acting.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad. Like I said, it felt like a B movie to me, even though I don't think it was meant to, I was all over the place with my thoughts on this film as it was.
No, I know.
As it was playing, and then after it was over, even today, I'm still like, I don't know, like how I felt about that movie. Like there was parts of it that I thought were, but there's other parts I kind of dug, you know. So
yeah,
I'm still like, as I'm looking at my rankings, I'm like, I don't know. So for me, I think there was a part, it got to a point in the movie where I'm like, how are these people that fucking stupid? They're in a single truck stop and people are dying. What are we over like a 3-day span, you think?
Yeah.
Four days tops?
Yeah.
Like, and yet like there's only the sheriff that like, no one's missing any of these people. Okay. So
he turns his head to all the
shit. The one guy's a priest, wrong, right? Like, unless he was just dressed up as a priest. The other guy's just a couple of truck drivers. They probably have some shit they got to take somewhere. Like I was having a hard time. Like there's just people dropping left and right in here.
Yeah.
And no one seems to be like,
hey, John's missing. Yeah. We didn't get our delivery. You know what I mean?
It's priest was on the bed for like 3 days, like 2 days. Like,
and how did no one smell him? There's no way he didn't stink after 3 days.
Yeah,
right?
But again, I was thinking maybe the whole place is stinky. So, you know, like, it is a truck stop, and there are lot lizards, so I don't know. Like,
yeah, they showed, like you said, it had a ton of potential, but the story, like I said, the part about the religious stuff was kind of cool. You know, the drinking the Kool-Aid kind of stuff was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But like I said, it just the character, like I like, like I said, the kids, all the kids, you know, the sex workers were their characters were good. They acted well. I wish they would have brought in more weird characters like the priest guy.
Yeah, yeah, you know yeah. I
mean? They were just
or built up the murderer like a little bit better. Like
yeah,
like yep. like as soon as she was there, she had that look on her face. You know, I'm like, okay, well, obviously it's her. You know,
and, yeah, it was just she just showed up and was like, boom, you know,
and she
boom,
just sat there with that like look on her face, like.
And somehow they converted her to a lot lizard, like just by a little chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's your turn now. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go suck a dick.
But like I said, it did. I can't say it enough. It had a shitload of potential.
It did.
It started off. It grabbed my attention.
And then that last half hour, there was a ton of blood, you know, and there was like some good murders and like, but I waited too long for that. I had already kind of checked out mentally by that point.
Middle of the movie got a little stale, like I said. It's
and I was like, geez, like is this all it's gonna be, is like this girl like sneaks around like killing people but nobody knows, and she doesn't get a drop of blood on her, and like
that was it. Yeah,
but I
and the thing too that just seems so unrealistic is every time she killed a trucker or a guy in a car, they would be like, "Oh, I just got done. I'm hungry. I need to eat something. Why don't you take this one?" And it's in the middle of the day, and she gets into the car and kills the guy, and there's blood splattered all over the window. And those other lot lizards didn't see the blood on the window, like they're right across from where the guy parked.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I mean, I don't. I've never spent a whole lot of time at a truck stop, but then those cars just are there for like days. But I mean, I guess if you,
that's a truck stop.
Yeah, I guess that's a truck stop. So you don't really think much about that. Like, yeah. I don't know. There was, like I said, there was some things I liked about it, but there's also some things I didn't like about it. And it was rough for me to like finally like judge the movie as a whole. Cause like you said, Craig, it had potential and there were some good things about it, but I don't know if the good things outweighed the bad things.
Yeah.
Now, is a lot lizard the same as a lounge lizard?
I don't know.
Probably, right?
Because
just
a different location. Leisure Suit Larry.
Land of the Lounge Lizard. So maybe lounge lizards are the same kind of girl, but they hang out in like old school Vegas, like clubs casinos and stuff. Yeah, and casinos and clubs. Maybe like you graduate from lot lizard to lounge lizard. You know, like,
yeah, I think so.
Once you get enough money and get yourself some better clothes and.
Well, their depiction of lot lizards was pretty good, because most lot lizards are not very pleasant looking.
That's what I said.
But how about the Liv gave a nice little show in the beginning of the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I said.
But she was like dirty. Her hair was greasy.
Yeah. That's why when we were talking about erotic horrors, I'm like, yeah, this one definitely doesn't qualify. Cause even though it's about like hookers, like it was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an interesting film. I'll say that much.
So yeah, this girl basically goes around and she's the religious nut coming from a religious family. Her mother was a little psycho, and she inherited this cross with a blade,
which was kind of cool.
Basically just goes around cleansing. She called it cleansing.
Oh my god, and so the religious thing was so fucking weird. And again, like I said, they knew she was in a creepy culty church.
Yeah. And they just left her there, and
they just left her hang out with them, and they're gonna teach her how to be a hooker. It just didn't make any sense to me. And you know what? The good thing is, I do believe that what makes a great horror film in my world is those creepy, like, culty Christians.
Yeah.
Like, that is the real horror of the world, and that is the real horror of horror films.
For sure. Yeah, and we've had some good culty Christian movies out over the last, like, couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially at the end when she goes back to her culty house.
And they're all, like...
And it's almost like the Hail Bop.
Yeah.
Remember the Hail Bop called?
Yeah.
They all had Nike sneakers on and a purple towel over their heads.
Yeah. And then she found a little brother in there. He was all dead too.
And Brian Johnstown, that shit too, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the one thing I didn't understand. So she was the extremist of the group because she wanted to cleanse the non-believers, whereas they just wanted to like leave the world, I guess. And then all of a sudden she decided like she needed to just like kill all those people at the truck stop and then she would be good to go. And she got back there and they were all dead. And she's like, "You left without me. You left without me." I'm like, "Well, he told you they were going to do that." Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, all right, should we
go? Yeah, let's do our little rating thing here. So give me a second while I bring up that part of my spreadsheet.
Yeah. And like I said, Billy Baldwin, jeez, man.
What the hell happened?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool, but if he would have just had a little bit better of an acting.
Yeah.
Dude, you're talking about the guy that was in Backdraft. Come on.
I know. Performance. It would have been okay,
but... All right. Here we are. All right, now we're reviewing Candyland, and let's start with visuals. What did we think about the visuals of the film?
It's just one of my higher grades. I gave it a 3. I thought it was I liked the scene. I thought the camera shots were pretty good. I felt the dirtiness of the truck stop. I felt that the characters presented
dirty,
themselves.
Greasy hair.
Yeah, I thought the visuals were good. I gave it a 3.
Yeah, I agree with that. 3 is good.
Sure. Yep.
Sound design.
Again, I thought the soundtrack was pretty good for it, and I thought the sounds were good. Like, again,
when the guy took his teeth out.
That was kind of gross.
And then he went going down on her. You could hear him going.
Yeah.
All the humpy sounds.
Yeah. I gave that a 3 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. A 3 worked for me too. Yeah. Acting. I didn't really think it was great.
Well, like I said, I like the kids. But Baldwin was terrible.
Yeah, I also
can't
didn't
think of anybody else that you can. You think of anybody else that?
I didn't think anybody stood out. Actually, I thought the kid, the gay kid or the bi kid or whatever, I thought he was probably the best of them. The chick who was like their madam, I thought she was just okay. And honestly, the killer chick, I don't know what it was about her.
No, like, you're right. She didn't really do it for me.
I did it. I'm going to go 2.5 for the acting.
All right. Yeah.
I'm going to say 2, but I guess we'll go with 2.5. All right. 2.5. All right. The story. What was the overall story? Is it good? I think it was missing some key elements.
I went with a 2 there. Sure.
Yeah, I would say 2.5. I would give it 2.5.
Go 2.5. Yeah, I'd go 2.5.
Like I said,
in general, you know what I mean? It's kind of a cool story. You got these truck stop lizards, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Lot lizards.
I would say.
And then, the religious stuff was kind of, it's like I said, it had potential, but it fizzled. But
it's like you have a good book, but the person who read the book read the story terribly. That's how it was a good story, but the telling of the story was not done. It was not executed.
Poorly executed.
Yeah, it was not executed well for me. That's why I'm going with a 2. But you guys, give it what you want. I'm just saying, for me, it was a 2.
I'm going to say 2.5, mostly because I think most of the girls were pretty decent actors, except for the madam and the religious chick. I think her acting was like a little too overdue.
It would have been better if the Santa was Samuel.
She almost went full retard. You know what I'm saying?
The only part I liked about the killer chick was right at the end where she like flipped her shit and like just went totally nuts.
Yeah.
Like I liked that.
Walked
into
everybody's room and stabbed.
Yeah. And then when she like was like having the meltdown because they all like killed themselves without her. Like I was like, you did that pretty good. Where was that in the rest of the movie? Like, couldn't you like. Yeah. So I'm. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. And then the last one would be the fun fear factor.
I also gave that a 2. Like I said, like I checked out like halfway through. Like I kept waiting for it to like get better. Like I wanted
something. There was
something.
No real fear factor
or at fun,
all, if you ask me.
No.
Yeah. Or funny.
Or was like, it very fun? It's not fun. It's not fun.
Yeah, I wanted to. Like I wanted to enjoy. Like I go into movies. Like you know, when you pick a movie like this, you want something different, and you want to find something that, like, holy shit, I can't believe no one's like talked about this movie. This wasn't one of those movies. Yeah, and no, I've picked a lot of those movies.
Yeah. All right. Let us look back at our totals here. We got visuals, 3. Sound design, 3. Acting, 2.5. Story, 2.5. And the fun fear factor is a 2. That gives us an overall rating of 3.0.
That's actually pretty good.
It's not bad. Not bad. Yeah.
It's average. It's an average film.
Yeah. All right, let me just write this in my notes here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd recommend it. I'm sure I got it recorded
as a 3.0.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. Like, it's not, like I said,
a three is tells me recommend it to people.
I would have a hard time doing that.
Honestly, I wouldn't watch it again ever. There would be no reason for me to watch it again. In fact, like Chris said, it was kind of hard to finish the whole film.
I'm glad it was an hour and a half, because if it was longer, I was getting to that
point. I
would have
turned it off, yeah.
But somehow it was good enough that we gave it a 3. It's the visuals and the sound that saved
it.
I think
it's those threes that we gave it for visual sound design.
But those were good.
Really, yeah, and you're correct, yeah. And that plus the, you know, the 2.5s for the acting and a bit of the story was, we may have given it too much at that point, but still.
Hey, it is what it is.
3 is a 3.
Yeah. It's a 3 with an asterisk. Yeah. Saved by sound and visuals.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let me go for the outro here. I want to first of all thank everybody for listening to us yammer about the things we like.
And the things we don't like.
And the things we don't like, yes. And sticking along for the ride. Every time I release an episode, we have a consistent amount of people downloading. And even weekly, we have a consistent number of subscribers, and that's great. So thank you. If you want to leave some feedback, a voicemail, you can call us at 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. If you want the voicemail to be played on the air, say it's safe for the air. If you don't, just don't say anything. We won't play it on the air. You can also email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. Again, thanks for listening, and you'll hear from us next month.
Peace.